One of the first things that I was asked yesterday morning about was wonder and terror. Saying, is this the terror? And that was a kind of a topic for the weekend. And I think you've gotten a little sense of some of the wonder and maybe more of the terror than you wish. Nevertheless, I want to speak about it a little bit more. Because the first thing I spoke about yesterday was some feeling of curiosity or interest or faith or trust or confidence that you might have in either awareness practice or what you've heard, or something is kind of tickling your interest to come to this retreat. And maybe some of you, and I know some of you have been practicing for a long time, so you kind of know what you're getting into and looking for some more support. Some of you are here for the first time, first retreat. And just something, some flickering flame, maybe just a glowing ember of interest or aspiration brought you here. And as I mentioned yesterday morning, that element of faith, confidence, trust, curiosity, interest is called in Pali Sadda, or usually translated as faith, but it means that which seeks the good. And the good is not just goody, goody, good. It's like that which seeks the wholesome or what's beneficial within yourself or within others. And so when we have some element of sadda and we see others, we're looking for what's good, what is wholesome here, what is beneficial, what is the flourishing of humanity here in this person, or in this book, or in this experience I'm having. What is it that's noble or calling forth the best within me? That's what sadda seeks. That's what sadda seeks. And we all have some faith in something. Faith in someone, something, some understanding, some practice that we do. You know, and sometimes what we have faith in actually does lead to the good, and some of it leads to, well, some good and some not so good. So we have to test this faith. We have to test this goodness. We have to kind of check it out. We might think, we might aspire, we might wish for this experience, this understanding, this whatever it is, thinking that it's good, wholesome, a flourishing of our own heart, and we get into it and we invest in it, we make some effort towards realizing it, and we have to see for ourselves, because we don't know for sure. We hear the teachings, we hear a teacher, we have some idea maybe of what we'd like to do, but we don't know yet. How are we going to know? Well, we actually have to do the practice. We actually have to check it out. As I mentioned, it's a do-it-yourself job. But with this faith, or with this sadda, we're at least willing to make some effort. We're willing to come to a retreat. We're willing to listen. We're willing to try to understand. We make the effort of actually doing the practice for here, as we did this weekend, sitting, walking, just kind of. We make the effort to clarify our misunderstandings through questioning and listening to all that I'm saying and what others are saying. And this is a lot of effort. And what is this effort doing? Well, it's getting the guidance, it's getting the instruction, it's getting some understanding of what we're doing, and it's also making the effort to be aware. And, you know, to clarify our instructions and to actually practice and to see for ourselves, oh, with this faith, willing to make this effort, this is what I become aware of. Okay? So we become aware of our own experience, and then we've had some dialogue about what we experience and how to understand that, and what's good about that, or what's challenging about that, what's, you know, terroristic about that, and what is, you know, kind of wholesome about that. And so we develop some awareness in this practice. And while 2 days is not a lot of time to develop a much of a momentum of awareness, nevertheless, just being in a group, that our sole focus in being together is awareness, practice, understanding and practicing, and supporting each other just by being here, keeping on track, keeping on task, so to speak. Maybe you can see, even at the end of a couple of days, that, wow, there's some greater understanding, maybe there's some greater momentum to your awareness, maybe there's some settled confidence or appreciation for the Dharma that was not so stable for, you know, when you arrived. And we see, we have some stability. We settle into and settle onto, or we let this teaching settle into our own heart. And if our heart settles down with that, then we come to some understanding. And this understanding is very personal. You know, this is what's of value to me. This is how it works for me. This is, you know, as much as you can bring it into alignment with what you've heard, or you see that it's in alignment with what I've shared with you about different aspects of the Dharma, then you feel some, or you have some understanding. Or maybe you have a confirmation of what you had imagined or heard or speculated about. And this understanding is not insignificant, because it supports your sadha. It reinforces your aspiration to more wholesomeness, if you will. So what I've just said is I've just gone through what are called the 5 spiritual faculties: faith, energy, mindfulness, stability of mind, samadhi, and understanding, wisdom. And these are the 5 activities of mind, these are the 5 faculties of mind that most responsibly guide the unfolding of your meditation practice, or your commitment and growth in the Dharma. Faith, energy, mindfulness, stability or steadiness, and wisdom or understanding. And their relationship is that with faith as a cause, we're willing to make effort. With effort as a cause, we become more mindful. With mindfulness as a cause, a continuity of mindfulness stabilizes the mind, collects the mind, coheres, brings the mind together. And as the Buddha said, the concentrated mind sees and understands things deeply. Wisdom, understanding. Some support for your understanding, or some increase of your understanding, again, reinforces and supports more faith, more willingness to make more effort, more awareness, more continuity, more understanding, deeper understanding, subtler understanding, more faith. And in this way, these 5 faculties gradually, incrementally grow in a cyclic way. Just little bit, and they just support each other. And as long as we keep nourishing that cycle by developing any of them, then our practice, you can be sure that your practice and your interest in your sadha will grow, and your understanding will grow. It's when we lose faith, or we don't practice awareness, or we don't make the effort, then it begins to unravel. And we lose our direction, and we lose our faith, and we lose our stability, and we dissipate. The mind gets very dissipated then. We can lose our mind easily. So as long as we kind of see this cycle of factors or activities in our life, in our practice, then you can be sure that you're on the right track. There's no fast track. It's just the track, you know. Or as as some wise guys or wise women, I don't know which, at the retreat center in Massachusetts when we first opened it in 76. Ram Dass was one of our great benefactors, and he used to send all of his students to come to the meditation center to kind of get them out of his hair, but also to support the center. And Ram Dass had stored all of it. He'd just come back from India. He was storing all this stuff in the cellar. And he had a printing press. I mean, Ram Dass had a printing press. One of these handset, you know, things, printing press. So somebody put together made this little koan, printed it on Ram Dass's printing press, posted it in the kitchen. O bhikkhus, O students of the Dharma, there is only one way, and that's the hard way. And it does seem to be kind of true. Oh, because there's only one way, the hard way. Half right. There is only one way, and it's the way of awareness, really. Awareness and understanding. But it's important that we begin to monitor our own practice. Going to retreats like this and hearing teachings, reading books, listening to Dharma talks online, listen to public speakers that come through town, can be inspiring and uplifting and informative, but we're mostly not we're not doing that. We're not living that. And we can't just abandon our practice to those few times in a year that you happen to get a teacher and a teaching and a place and a practice together. And most of our life is not with teachers and community. And so we need to know how to monitor our own practice. That's why we want to at least be aware of these five faculties, so that when we see that we're weak in any of them, we can take some steps to adjust and to seek that which we need to get the cycle going and keep it going. Incidentally, not the recordings here at this retreat, they go up on Vim's website? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vim's website. So everything I said here will be up on But most of you know, probably, but I'll mention it, that decades ago now, we started a Dharma tape library where we made recordings of talks that were given, instructions and talks, and then sold them. Then they went from tapes to CDs, and from CDs to online. Now, the nonprofit that we started back then has uploaded onto the web recordings of all the Dharma talks, as many as we can get, from all the teachers from the last 45 years. Free. Available for free. And some of the early recordings were not, you know, Joseph's first teachings at Naropa in 74. First time he taught. They're there. And everything since. And it's just a tremendous gift. Because you don't have to pay. You know, you really, the Dharma is freely available. And last time I was at in Massachusetts, I was speaking with a young fellow, Eric McCord, who's one of the directors of the Dharma Seed Library, or Dharma Seed, yeah, Tape Library. And he was telling me that, and I think I got this number right, that there are 1 million downloads a month. A million downloads a month. And he told me that while there are a lot of people in the States that download my talks, the second largest group of downloads of my talks is China. I've never been to China. I don't speak Chinese. I don't know anybody in China. And yet, there's interest there. So, you know, just making the Dharma available online will have far-reaching consequences after we're long gone, in ways that we don't even know. But it's not just teachers, it's because there's interest here that these things get recorded and make it made available to all over the world. People have access. I know Eastern Europe has tremendous amount of interest in Dharma. They download a lot too. But it's just to say that there are resources available for your practice. You know, it's not just when I or other teachers come to town. You know, if you're really interested, there's just lots available, and to take advantage of that. Now, that being said, you know, not having a teacher can feel like a limitation sometime. But you know, you can check it out, see what works for you, and nourish your aspiration, nurture your aspiration. Maybe you can't find the time or afford or haven't quite got the faith yet to do a residential retreat of a week or 9 days. Maybe that's too much to imagine, but maybe there's a interest somewhere in the back of your mind to do a longer retreat, but you can't see how to do it yet. Don't fret, don't stew, just nurture that possibility. Maybe someday it'll be possible. Or for those of you who've been practicing 9-day retreats, maybe doing a month or 6 weeks or 3-month retreat is the far reach of your aspiration. Well, nurture that, nourish that, because when the time comes, you want to be ready. So when the conditions of your life change, as they will, and time opens up or funds become available or responsibilities lessen in some way, if you've been nurturing and nourishing the possibility of doing longer retreat or different kind of practice, then you have the conditions to support it, the decision is made. But if you haven't been nourishing that, you won't recognize that as an option when conditions change. So don't be careful not to limit your vision of what's possible, even though you don't know the timeline in which it might be possible. So there's that. And not only a 3-month retreat, you know, whatever else you might consider doing with the Dharma practice. And what I've seen is that, you know, in my own life, it's like I didn't know what I was getting into. And most of us don't. We don't know what we're getting into. We hear about it somehow. And then we never know really what's going to call us to stay involved or to offer service. I know VIMS is a service organization. Everyone donates their time, their interest, their skills to make this place run. And that's what I found for myself is as soon as I did a retreat, I went to serve at the Meditation Center in Massachusetts, was on staff for a number of years, and you know, ended up being involved for 8 years there, because the community of people I met there were, well, my kind of people. You know, and not that other people aren't my kind of people, but they were the ones that I really could feel connected to and resonant with. And I think that serving the Dharma is a great way to pay back, you know, your opportunity, but also to support, you know, Dharma organizations. And I don't know any Dharma organization that isn't shorthanded. You know, they all need more support, whether it's just helping set up or take down retreats like this, or get newsletters out, or maintain mailing lists, or websites, or whatever. There's always more to be done than there seems to be hands or interest or energy to do. So whatever you have for skills to support any Dharma organization, don't be afraid to practice generosity in that way too. So the wonder of life. Sometimes, you know, in the busyness of our life and the stress of responsibilities and commitments, we forget to tune in to the simplicity of just being on the face of the earth. Whether it's just feeling the sun, or hearing the sounds of birds at dawn, or sharing a simple anything with anyone, we forget. You know, we're in a hurry. We've got obligations and time commitments and things like that, and we miss the simplicity. And while spiritual practice can bring really exalted, glorious, noble, esoteric experiences to the heart and the mind. I mean, the most amazing thing is to feel the sun, know you're feeling the sun when it feels warm. To hear the birds, to know you're hearing the birds, and you appreciate it. That's amazing. But it takes awareness, doesn't it? It takes awareness to know that's what your experience is. And the most simple things can be the most revealing. You know, it's not just the very exotic, esoteric, you know, high and exalted mental states from some years of practice in a cave somewhere. Any one of us can step outside and just appreciate the beauty of our sense doors. And we still have our sense doors. They're working. We still can see. We still can hear. We still can feel. We still can think. We still can taste, touch, smell. That's really a miracle. If you're aware that that's what's happening. If you're not aware that it's happening, it's just like you don't notice it. But that's really what's amazing. But it's not easy, as we've seen. It's not easy to just be aware of the simplicity of just being a human being on Earth. Because our view of what's going on and what's important and what's valuable and what's necessary gets skewed. It gets hijacked by conditions that are, you know, more demanding of our attention than the simplicity of just our own sense doors. And so don't think that doing nothing isn't important. It's really important. You know, as I've often said about meditation, it's more valuable to do nothing than to waste your time. Right? And we waste all kinds of time. It'd be much better to really be aware doing nothing and get something from it. So, that's it. Time's up. Thanks for the invitation, you who belong to the managers and organizers of VIMS. I appreciate it. This is my second time here. It's been a lot of fun again. And I know I've seen some of you in retreat. I'll probably see you again, hopefully. And thank you very much. See you in a couple of years.
Thank you, everybody. Just a few announcements. If you would please, before you head out today, have a look around where you've been sitting and practicing and double check the cloakroom and the lunchroom or anywhere where you may have spent time. We always end up with a few treasures left at the end of the weekend, so hopefully you can get yours. Thank you to all of the volunteers for helping with setup and for those who are available to help us take down at the end of the day today as well. Thank you to everyone for participating, to our sound fellow. Thank you, Lori, to Izzy for co-managing, to Lori for hosting Steve as well, to Lori and his family. And thank you to Steve for sharing your teachings, sharing your wisdom, bringing it to us with joy and humor. And thank you as well for creating the opportunity for us to ask questions and engage in discussion with you. A couple of announcements, I think, from Rod, but before I turn that over to him, is there anyone looking for a ride today? Hoping that we can help coordinate that. Beautiful. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you.
I just have a couple of quick announcements. And just to clarify, my name is Brock. That's Rod over there. I wanted to announce that I will be offering a one-day retreat in about 4 weeks. It's on the Saturday, November 11th, and it's on joy. Joy is a factor of awakening, or joy on the path. So that will be a one-day here. And, I need my notes for... Just one, we have a special Sunday